Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Ms. Darlene Morant. Ms. Maria is an empowerment coach for Life Awfully Simple. Darlene, I'm really happy that you're here today. I know I told you I had a sick belly, but getting riled up for this call has helped me perk up some.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah. So introduce yourself a little better than what I did and tell us what you do for a living.
Oh, well, you did great. Thank you for having me on. And I'm glad that you're on the mend, so to
Thank
speak.
You.
My name is Darlene Morant, like Karen said, and I am a life empowerment coach, and I created a signature program called Haters Be Damned to help women in their 40s get through being stuck. Mm-hmm. And that was like the basis of what I wanted to share. Some of my history comes from being in nurse caregiving, which is newborns only. Right. And I've been doing that for 10 years and I have 4 children of my own. Having gone through a few things, I figured my expertise and my life history can help other women. And what more to teach than from experience? Right.
Right. So. Yeah. Life tends to be the big teacher of a lot of things for sure.
That is true.
Yeah. And I love the title of your program for sure. But the audience I tend to serve is over 40 as well. And isn't it, so I'm guessing you're over 40 if you're serving over 40.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Likewise. And so what have you noticed to be more freeing about your 40s than say 20s and 30s? What's different?
Being able to say haters be damned. I mean, during my 20s and 30s, I spent so much time wondering what other people were thinking, you know, what other people may see as my actions to be. And now that I'm in my 40s, I'm finding out that I don't really care so much. Mm-hmm. There are things that I want to get across. There are things that need to be said. And if I say them with grace and I pursue my life with grace, then things just, they just fall where they may. And being able to do that has been quite freeing because I spent a lot of time wondering, well, I wonder if I do it like this, is that going to be all right? And I wonder if I do it like this, is that going to be all right? You know, kind of trying to just barely be here, but now I'm all the way up here. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of like being able to say what I want and mm-hmm. be firm in it.
Yeah, it's pretty freeing. It's how a lot of my friends and I that say it. Like, yeah, someone doesn't like something we say. Okay.
Okay.
Keep trucking.
Totally right. Yeah.
So School of Hard Knocks type of stuff. Was there anything along your path that was more of a knock than others? Like what brought you to now, to your career choice now?
Well, the things that brought me to now were, I wanted to say that during my 30s, pushing into my 40s, I found that I checked out for a little while on my life. And it was happened to be in the beginning part of my motherhood, my mothering journey, right? Because my children are now 13, 12, 10, and 9. And mentally, I was so focused on trying to be a mom that I thought I was supposed to be, that I wasn't a woman that I wanted to be. And so the pivotal point came when my now ex-husband said, you know, I don't really think that this relationship is going to work anymore. I've outgrown you and I want out. And I was like, outgrown, out, leaving me? I mean, you know, you think first thing you think is I'm awesome. Why would that happen? And it felt like a kick in the stomach. And at that point, I had to really start taking stock through therapy and all those things, taking stock as to what was I doing for me that caused it to seem that way, right? Not what was he doing. I was like, well, okay, what am I doing that's making this not work? Or what am I doing that's causing that perception of me? And so I had to take a hard look in the mirror and say, okay, so you weren't doing this or you were doing that. And this is still great, but that's got to go. And so taking stock, and I did that. And even though I smile a lot, there's been a lot more smiles since.
Right, right. Was the divorce and having young, let's keep the kids out of it because hormones and all kinds of things make that very complicated.
Yes.
Postpartum. But, you know, so and having children is a beautiful yet challenging thing.
Totally.
Was the divorce the hardest thing that you had gone through in your life? Is that the biggest pain you're bringing to your coaching now?
You know, I thought that it would have been. However, I had like a year before, almost a year to the date before we started the process of getting divorced, I lost my dad. I mean, he was suddenly sick and gone within 2 days of being sick. And that, I think that just rocked my entire foundation because I'm a daddy's girl and we were always really close. There was nothing left unsaid between us. The name of my company comes from his favorite saying, life awfully simple. So that was the hardest thing for me. So by the time I had gotten to that spot in my life for being told that, you know, I was going to be left, and even though I have 4 children, all those things, it wasn't the biggest kick in my stomach, but it hurt just the same.
Sure. And sometimes it's hard to compare kicks in the stomach because when you lose someone, you cherish it. It's really tough.
Yeah. And loss is kind of hard.
Yeah. And I think a lot of women listening to you be like, they might be like, what, that hurt? Like, at least she had a daddy. At least she had someone who gave a damn about her. At least she had somebody. It doesn't, I'm taking a guess if you're so close to your dad that maybe he didn't go out of his way to hurt you. And so
You're right about that. I'm from a Caribbean culture, if you would. So for a lot of years, my dad lived in America and did the care from income side. And my mom lived in Central America and raised me there. So we were apart, but always communicating. And even though we had certain challenges, I by no means ever felt that he intentionally tried to hurt me or that, you know, things weren't going to be there. So to have him ripped away when I was just preparing to kind of spend more time and try to do that because he's not retired and, you know, all the things you think, okay, now is going to be the time to get more firm in our relationship. Yeah. You know, he was gone. Mm-hmm. So that was tough, but I do agree with you that my trauma in that, if you would, does not begin to equate to what some other women might see as trauma, not having a dad and not having their dad around or having a parent that hurt them.
Yeah. And it wasn't meant to minimize what you
are missing. No, for sure. Yeah. For sure. But yeah, there are different levels. And I'm always holding space for women that have gone through that and have gone through these types of things. Mm-hmm. Never saying, oh, okay, so mine wasn't as bad as yours. But, you know, you just literally hold space with empathy for what their experience was.
Exactly. Because we all come to the table with different stories, right?
Completely.
And sometimes it's just so complicated, especially when I have clients whose parents have killed themselves. It's like that kind of loss is much different than if they lost a parent to like a car accident, you know? And that kind of loss is different than if they died from an illness. So yeah, the long story short probably be is like, I'm sorry that you lost your dad. And maybe because I don't think we talk enough about positive dads on here. It hasn't come up a whole lot. What do you think was so special about him that you really hang on? So the women on the show who are maybe dating and looking for, you know, a future father for their children, what should they be looking for?
Well, my mom and my dad used to be very affectionate. They would dance all the time. I love to dance. I mean, so it has to meet the qualities that make your heart go pitter-patter. And it's not a feeling that you can, it is a feeling easily distinguishable, right? So you'll know what's making your heart flutter. For my dad, it was just being able to talk to him about anything and him not being judgmental, you know, having that calm of, you know, and that's the type of person that I'm actually going to be with in the future. Should there be?
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Is that, yes. Yeah. It's, you know, I have to be able to feel that joy, being able to have a relationship with someone that I can be completely myself with, 100% vulnerable with, and still come out on the other side. Because sometimes vulnerability is used as a weakness, but for me, it's a strength.
100% agree. Are you a reader of Dr. Brené Brown?
I am.
I love her work on vulnerability. Yeah.
I absolutely love her work.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Yeah. I spend a lot of time teaching on vulnerability because it's something I work with a lot of veterans too, male veterans.
Okay.
And, you know, I have several old African American veterans who are grouchy. And when we talk about vulnerability, you know, their spidey senses are like through the roof. And so I have them reading Brené Brown. And if they all just took pictures of that, that would just warm my heart of these old men reading Brené Brown. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
It would be beautiful. And there's so much to be learned from vulnerability, but it's not something that's readily taught. So Brené does and they're a great
enjoying
job.
They're enjoying the freedom of, oh, this is a strength. You know,
yes.
It's a new mindset. It's very freeing. Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. So tell us more about like what your program, like if a woman wanted to learn more about Haters Be Damned, like is it a 10-week coaching program? Like, what do you do?
It can be either 3 months or 6 months. Depends on how, once we have our conversation, you feel that you need me or you need that type of support. And it's really just helping women to become unstuck. If you're in a relationship that you really hate, if you're in a job that you really hate, if you're in relationships with, whether it be family or even a spouse that just does not serve you, but you still want to respect that, be graceful, be who you are, and still be able to say, you know, enough with the haters. I'm still firm enough to be able to do what I can do. That's the type of woman that I'm looking to work with, because I get them to see their joy. I get them to see their passion. I get them to learn more about really who they are without thinking it has to be abrasive or thinking it has to be graceless, if that's a word, and still come through being vulnerable, being strong, being powerful, because we are. And I think when we're going through things that we don't feel that serve us anymore, we kind of dim our light a little bit more in order to ease our way out. But there's a tough process that we have to go through. And I'm able to walk hand in hand with them and say, okay, so you felt this way today, but here's how I may be able to help you feel tomorrow. What are your strengths? What are your joys? What brings you joy? And find out how we can incorporate that into their lives in a meaningful way to get them to graduate to haters be damned.
Have you worked with women? I know I have, that no one has ever asked them, what would bring you joy?
I have. It's so amazing. I have worked with women that don't even ask themselves, what brings me joy? You know, first place to start, right? First place to start is, okay, am I happy today? Why am I sad today? Why are things not, you know, feeling great? Why are things not going great? And sometimes it's just a little tweak and it shifts things for us. And we're not thinking about it because we're in it. So having someone there to hold space for you and say, I thought yesterday you did, you know, you took that ride down the street on this bicycle that you hadn't ridden for 10 years and you remembered how great that felt. And they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, that's a reason. Let's write that in our, you know, in our little checkbox here. So.
Yeah, that reminds me of inner child work. So a lot of times I will tell women that I work with, you know, there are no limits to your adulthood. You're not in jail.
That's good.
You know, so if you were resentful of things that you didn't have or you couldn't enjoy in your childhood, there's nothing stopping you for now. So if your mom or dad never took you out for ice cream cone, take yourself out for an ice cream cone. Get yourself a new bike. You know?
So good.
Go learn how to dance. I have a woman, one of my clients who's really not giving a damn what people think. She just wrote and signed up for tap lessons.
That's so amazing.
Like, and she's in her 60s. So it's just beautiful. Yeah.
That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for you to watch a transformation of that too.
Just signing up transformed her. Just signing up transformed her.
And mostly that's all that it takes. And in my work, I get to help women take those first steps because we just kind of put ourselves on the back burner, which is why it's mostly women in their 40s that I deal with, because I think in our 20s and our 30s, depends on what situation we find ourselves in, we still have a little bit of the spunk. But if we push that away long enough, by the time we get to our 40s and the hormonal shifts start to take place, before you know it, we're sitting on the couch with ice cream every night and be like, what, you know, what happened? Yeah.
I am sitting on the couch sometimes with ice cream, but mostly with my laptop. That's typing away. That's why I'm laughing.
It's a pint of ice cream. So
ice cream is my cocaine. Let's just call it what it is. It's my cocaine. So I try not to keep cocaine in the house.
I don't. So when I want it, I get it. Okay. And then it's always the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's part of also the no judgment. You know, if you're going to do that, then you know that you're doing it. It's done. And you do the next thing. It's not, oh my gosh, why did I do that? There's no,
just makes
no
it worse
for that at this spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So lean into just being.
Lean into it. Lean into all of the mistakes. Lean into all of the things that you think did not go right. Lean into all the things that went well. Just lean in more. Like literally come close to yourself and say, this is okay. Look at us.
We're
okay. And on the days that you're not, find a person that's in your corner and tell them, you know what? I am not okay today.
Mm-hmm. And all it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You're like, it's okay.
It's okay to be okay. And it's also very okay not to be okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it's how we deal with the very next moments that changes things for us. Like I said, little tweaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I call those baby steps. Yeah. Some women will say, I'm not making any progress. I'm like, well, I'm in the helicopter view looking down at you. And I saw baby step A, baby step B, mm-hmm. C, D. Yeah, you took a half a step backwards here, but that's kind of normal with change. So do you not want to be normal? You know, we can try to do this in a superhero fashion, but if you're trying to be the best version of yourself, you know, let's honor that.
Let's get to normal first.
Yeah, let's honor the.
And then to abnormal, because weird is powerful. Yeah, I'm not the one. I passed my normal quite some time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too boring, right?
It is.
It's overrated. Totally
into extraordinary things these days. If I'm going to blow it up, it's just going to blow all the way up.
I'm on that same page with you. Like, if we're going to do something, let's do it big.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of the questions I ask people on my podcast, my guests, I like to know, I try to ask questions that I know will help survivors of childhood abuse, sexual assault, domestic violence, any kind of trauma that someone could go through. And I know what works oftentimes are things like routines. Okay. So, and I do not have routines perfect. Like I have them perfect in my head of what I'd like to do. And I'm not anywhere near where I want them to be. I need to make some big changes first. That's my excuse or my explanation. Anyway, I want to know, what are your routines? You have solid routines in place that you really feel help you be successful.
And I'm not a routine person. Like I said, routine was me a while back, where it would be the getting up every day and doing the gym, the dropping the children to school, the going to get breakfast here, and you know, those kinds of routines. They didn't serve me well.
Okay.
What serves me is the things that I figured out now that brings me joy, make sure that they get entered into my day in little segments.
So are routines?
Because they don't happen the same time every day, I tend to think that they're not routines, but they are patterns in my behavior that I now notice. If I've not done them for a few days, I'm like, oh, well, I guess that sweater is not going to get finished because I didn't put any stitches on. But, you know, so I knit, I crochet, things like that. But those are things that bring me to level. They're not things that say, oh, okay, you have to do this today or else your day is going to be derailed.
Yeah.
And okay. I kind of needed that shift when I was transitioning to being the person that I was supposed to be before. Because I don't believe that we do a 360 because then we come back to the same spot. Right. In my 180, the little twitches on the clock that went this way, it was just reminding myself, right? And reminding the people that I work with, tell me what it was again. When did you remember that you loved A, right? When did you remember that you stopped doing B, whatever that is? Because it's not that you're going to now say, okay, I'm not doing that anymore because it doesn't. It may be something that we need to go back to, right? Mm-hmm. Just in a different way. Okay. So I'm hoping I'm answering your question.
Kinda. I mean, I'm very curious. So you don't wake up at the same time then every day? You get up when you want to? Okay.
I don't.
So you totally work from home and no boss?
I actually live in at the moment. I'm finishing an assignment. So I'm still partially in the career that I had prior to doing Haven Studio. So for that, I sometimes get up at 5:30 because that's the day that I decide I'm going to read something that will take me a little more time. Other days I get up at 7. But as far as me saying, okay, every day I get up at 5:30 and I do this, I do A, I do B, I do C, It has to still be fluid enough for me to not feel pressure.
Trapped, yeah.
And trapped in, oh my gosh, I didn't get this done. Now what? If I don't get my workout done in the morning and it's going to happen at 4:30, then it's going to happen at 4:30. Mm-hmm. But it will be 6 minutes of joy for me. It won't be, oh, I got to get this in because, you know? Mm-hmm. So I hope that answers your question. And for the people that are listening that require a routine, when I was initially changing some things for me and for some of my clients, I figured out that some people require the routine because everything else in their life is like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
However, some people, everything else in their life is like this.
And they need to shake it up.
They need it to be shaken up.
That's a really great way to put it. And having flexibility and grace. Yeah. Because if you're totally a routine person and then you travel, you could be very easily derailed.
Completely.
Yeah. So bottom line is we're all different and just figuring out what helps you become the best version. And if it's a routine, it's okay. If it's not a routine, it's okay.
Completely.
Yeah.
And the work is in finding that. The work is in getting to that and not feeling held to any specific thing.
Yeah.
Even though it may end up becoming a routine for you right now, you don't know, which is why we're working, which is why we're doing this work, which is why we're talking to someone that, you know, we're feeling lost today or we're feeling really great today. There, that person should and can and possibly will help you so that tomorrow when you are falling off a little, and they jolt you back to saying, remember this worked yesterday, or at least that's what we talked about. So should we do some more of this right today and see if we can put two strings together?
Okay. What about the word habit? Does habit strike you as routine or pattern, like you were talking about earlier?
I've had habits. I have clients that have habits. I've had some terrible habits and I've had some good ones over the years. I no longer create habits for myself, but yes, patterns. And it may be the same word in meaning, but I think for me, it's up here how it recognizes because some of the habits that I had in the past were not, we're not supportive.
Okay. Okay. It's a great conversation. You know, it does go back to having flexibility in your head on how.
Completely. Flexibility and vulnerability and grace.
And grace. Yeah.
Extremely important. All of these three things that in the past, when you're pointing to yourself or pointing to someone else, may come across as a weakness. However, I have come to learn that they are strengths. Being rigid is not a strength for me. Being flexible is a strength. Being vulnerable is not a weakness for me. It is a strength. Because when I am not vulnerable, then I am so much more, and nothing can get people in that's meaningful.
People on the podcast listening aren't going to hear that, what you just did.
Are they going to, oh, it's boxy. Like, you know, the robot move? That robot move is like, who does the robot? I'm not really great at it, but that's what it says for me when I'm not being vulnerable, is that I'm painting myself into a box.
Yeah. And it doesn't fit you well.
It does not fit.
Okay. Yeah.
Tiny boxes for a massive world.
Yeah. And I think for those of us who tend to be all over the place, the box can feel, instead of confining, it can feel just structured enough where it feels more safe. So yeah, it's.
And in a world that has a lot of trauma, safety is key. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we really have to have the conversations, write down the things, go through the processes of getting ourselves to what brings me joy. Mm-hmm. And what brings me joy may be really hard to get to, but am I willing to go through this journey to get to my joy, no matter how difficult it's going to be? Because joy sounds great, but it's not, you know, it's not a, oh, tomorrow I'm going to be joyful. It's a process.
Right. Okay. So we mentioned Dr. Brené Brown's work. Are there any other coaches or any books that have really been encouraging to you on your journey that you recommend people read?
One of my favorite books is Grit by Angela Duckworth. Mm-hmm. And some of her work, I actually got to listen with her. And another favorite book of mine is Chasing Cupcakes. And why can't I remember the author of Chasing Cupcakes? Her name will come back to me in a little while. Yeah. But
I think it's on my to be read list.
Yes, yeah. It's an awesome read. It's becoming one of my favorite books, because the things that we go through are not for us. That's what I've always said. So in Grit, both in Grit and in the Chasing Cupcakes book, I noticed that the sequence of events are all to bring us to the place to ask the best questions. What questions do we ask ourselves, and what answers? Are we honest, or do we just, you know, go with whatever answer comes up? Because getting to the truth of who we really are and the things that bring us joy is going deeper and deeper and deeper. And those are hard steps. So Grit helped me get through some of the tougher times when I started to think about, okay, I'm really going to have to file these divorce papers. And they're like tons of papers. And what am I going to do with them? And yes, I need to pay an attorney. And oh my gosh, it's going to be so expensive. And you know, all the things start feeling like they're piling on. I remembered that in Grit, she was like, well, nothing really great is going to come from me constantly thinking about what possibly could go wrong, but what will be on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. And that's the same in like chasing cupcakes. She was like, listen, anger can ride with me in the car, but it cannot drive.
Ooh, yeah,
is one of her sayings, right?
Yeah. And I've heard that saying before. It's a great one.
Yeah. It's a really great one. Blank. She was like, whatever it is can ride with me, but it cannot drive. Otherwise, you know, there's tons of accidents.
And a better way to think of it too is like, maybe sometimes that voice that's irritable or angry, maybe we just flip them into the back seat. And if they really are bugging the shit out of us, let's put them in the trunk.
Put them in the trunk. Nope, they can't drive.
I read that somewhere, so I didn't come up with that, by the way. I just don't remember where I read it.
I think it's just being able to drive my own life going forward has been a huge shift for me. And having gone through some of the things that I have, whether it was having 4 C-sections in 5 years, which was trauma to my body more so than to my mind, end up becoming traumatic to my mind because I had trouble breastfeeding and then, you know, I had an infection in my incision and all the things that kept feeling like they were piling on that I didn't see that I was actually still making progress. I mean, these children were growing up and I was a part of that. So being able to get through that with some grace and with some vulnerability still intact and not totally lose my mind has been really helpful in the books that I continue to look for and continue to read. I read a lot of self-help books, if you would. Mm-hmm. I've tried to get into the novels and the fiction stuff, but it hasn't really gone my way yet.
And I love his Troublemaker.
That's another book, Professional Troublemaker by Lovey Jones. That's also another book of mine. You asked me about books.
I love reading. I think three things. There's actually more. The more I think about it, when I have more answers, but things that I feel are really healing are reading, writing, and a big one is traveling.
Mm.
I think are my top three. Maybe. And I love like when I was younger, I had this false belief I wasn't creative. Mm-hmm. I have now learned how false that belief is or limiting. Mm. And now I'm very creative and I love that part of me as well. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's amazing how we can convince ourselves of such bullshit sometimes.
It is true. And it's not just us. There are little signals coming from others too. And so we have to really mm-hmm. learn to block out the noise because yeah. somebody can say one thing and totally derail you.
Well, that's where it comes from. I'm sure I didn't wake up one day and say, oh, Karen, you're not creative. I'm pretty sure it was planted by when I drew stick people for the first time and they were crooked.
They're crooked stick people all over the place.
Yeah. So... Yeah, mindset work is really, really important.
It's really important. And it's freeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got to start wrapping up our time together, though. It's been a ton of fun. Yes, you know that our primary audience is women recovering and healing from trauma. Any last words of wisdom, inspiration, hope that you'd like to plant seeds in today for them?
My seed for every woman is to look yourselves in a mirror, even if the only mirror that you have is a compact, and just open that little compact and you can only see yourself maybe in one eye and make sure you know, I'm still here. I must be able to do something. I'm still here. I must be able to do something. And whatever that something is, even if it's just being able to give a smile or drop a tear, you're still worth it. You're still relevant. You're still here, which means we get to do, you know what I mean? We get to do the next step. We get to do the next thing. So just remind yourself of that as you get it to look into a mirror or find a mirror, look into the car mirror as you're driving and say, wow, I'm still here. You got this.
Yeah. And what's my next step? Just have to worry about the first one.
Just the first one. You don't have to see around curves. You mm-hmm. just have to do the first one. Mm-hmm. And when you tell yourself that you're still here, you'll get that next step.
Yeah.
You get it.
Can't get set to the second step if you don't take the first step.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The second step always becomes apparent once you take the first step.
Completely.
We should have been philosophers. I don't know what happened to us.
We're still on the way. We're still here.
So instead of seeing all those old men, the old white men stoics, it's going to be you and I on the wall.
It's going to be us with our smiles and with our heart holding space.
Yes. Okay. Well, I, darling, can't say enough what a pleasure it's been to talk with you today. I'm sure that the women and men, if they choose to listen, will gain some beautiful pieces from what we discussed today. So thank you.
Thank you. It has been my pleasure.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.